The FIR Podcast Network presents Amp Up Your Social Media, an audio podcast that brings you insights and ideas from the leading practitioners of social media marketing.
Amp Up Your Social Media is sponsored by GaggleAmp. Empower your employees, partners, and resellers to share your social media messages. And by SafeLinks. SafeLinks automatically tells you when links you put into social media go bad, so you can take action.
Here's your host, Glenn Gaudette.
Welcome back to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media. My name is Glenn Gaudette, and today I'm speaking with Jared Morris. Jared, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, Glenn.
Jared, can you tell our audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yes, I am the VP of Marketing for Copyblogger Media, and I was promoted to that position after being the Director of Content last year, so spent time managing the Copyblogger blog, and now I'm overseeing the marketing efforts for all of our products. That includes managing a lot of our social media and still overseeing the blog, and doing a lot with our email marketing and data analysis as well.
Excellent. So can you tell us a little bit about how you first got introduced to social media, and at what point did the aha light go off to say, you know what, this stuff's here to stay when it comes to business?
You know, it's funny. I never really anticipated getting into this business. I was going to go to law school and ended up meeting a guy down here in Dallas named Derek Schaefer, and was really interested in what he was doing. He had a small agency that was helping small businesses in Texas or here in Dallas with their online marketing, and started working with him. And as part of that, I started a little blog on the side of my own, which was kind of my sandbox, my way to get my hands dirty and learn what WordPress was and learn what social media was, because I really had no experience with it before that. And that sports blog, you know, started to do okay. And I actually wrote a post one day that was sitting out to analyze whether a certain baseball player, he had these crazy numbers, and I was trying to analyze why the numbers were so good. You know, was there something to explain these numbers outside of the obvious that everybody was saying, which was steroids? And so, to make a long story short, he found out about the post. It became this big deal and got on ESPN. I ended up going on ESPN. But what it really showed me from a social media standpoint is that was really the first time that the site kind of got mentioned, that I got any kind of mention. And to see it explode like that on social media and just see, you know, the audience that kind of built up in a short period of time that was then there waiting to listen to the next thing I had to say, that's kind of when the light bulb went off and said, hey, you know, if you can do something that interests people or that compels people into, you know, following you or basically committing to seeing what you have to say next, as long as you have interesting things to say, that's something that you can really build upon, something you can really use. So that was kind of the light bulb moment, and certainly wasn't expecting it, but kind of one thing led to another, and now here I am.
Well, you know, that's interesting because a recent study of social media managers said that they spend about 60% of their time creating content. So, and somebody in your business, one of the things that always comes up is, you know, what the heck do I write about? And, you know, what do I talk about? And, you know, for most companies, particularly with, you know, B2B, you know, they kind of go through what their products are. They go through what's happening in the industry, and they get a little bit of content fatigue. How do you deal with that?
That's a great question, and that is something that everybody deals with. And, I mean, we have posted, you know, new content on copyblogger.com, and we haven't missed a planned day of content in 6, 7, 8 years, however long it is. And, you know, it's funny. I think sometimes people almost overthink it, because I think when you get to that point where you're not sure what to write about, or you get that fatigue, go back and look at it from your customer's perspective. Become very audience customer focused and think about the questions that your customers have, the people that you're trying to serve. What are their questions? And if you don't know them, or if you don't have any in your head that you haven't answered yet, then I think it's a great idea to go just talk to people, have some conversations. And social media is a great place to do this. And I think for me, whenever I get to that low point, two things happen when I go out and talk to actual people, and especially people in the audience. Number one, I get energized just by their energy, by the conversation, and just by getting out from behind the computer and having to stare at the blank page, which can be kind of frustrating. And number two, the ideas just start flowing. And, you know, not only just questions that they have, but discussions will happen that lead down in tangents that you're not expecting, and there's these aha moments. You're like, yes, that would be a great piece of content. And a great piece of content is just a conversation with a member of your audience anyway. So why not start with an actual conversation in real life? And a lot of times that can lead to a really good piece of content or a great series or just get you back on the right track.
I think that's great advice, because at the end of the day, it also, at least for me, talking to the market, talking to customers, talking to prospects, also gives me even more enthusiasm than I started with, because it's validating in so many ways, whether it's things that they like about what you're already doing or things that they'd like you to do. It's just, it's engaging in those conversations can really, at least for me, brings up even more passion. And I've got quite a bit of passion.
And then it reminds you how useful you are, because I think too often we underestimate our own usefulness. We think, oh, well, I know this, but we take it for granted. Well, you know that because you have experience and you've done things, and don't just think that, oh, well, this is too rudimentary or this isn't going to be helpful to people. You've done things that a lot of people haven't, and whatever that industry, whatever your area is. And so, those are good things to share. People will find use from that.
So that leads me to another question, which is, you know, you've got a certain amount of expertise in whatever company you're in, and the company has a certain amount of expertise. How do you know at what level to disclose the expertise? I mean, do you talk beginner level, intermediate level, advanced level, or whatever the breakdowns are in your industry? How do you think about that?
Well, I think you probably need to start from the end. And if you are, depending on what your business model is and who the, you know, who your ideal audience member is going to kind of be drawn from who your ideal customer is. And so depending on your products, I mean, if you have a very basic level product, then you may want to explain things at a very basic level to attract that type of person. And if your product is much more advanced, then you're going to want to talk at a more advanced level. So I think it really just, it comes back to having a good understanding of the type of person that you're trying to reach, and then making sure that your content and your content strategy and the tone and the kind of the level of it matches who that person is. But that's just, you know, and that requires, again, having that understanding of the audience and really being able to pinpoint, okay, who are we trying to reach? You know, what stage are they at? What problems do they have? What are they going to understand and not understand? And just make sure that your content and your messaging fits into that.
So again, it's coming back to really understanding your audience, which is, you know, to a large degree, marketing 101, which sometimes we forget about because we have to do all this content, right? But they're usually the key to most things in business is understanding your market. So from your perspective, have you seen certain types of content work better than other types? You know, whether that be, you know, text, images, video, audio. What are your thoughts around that?
I think that's a great question. And I think really different types of content or different mediums are better for different messages. So, you know, at Costa Blogger, we've been doing a lot with podcasting lately. You know, we have our podcast, The Lead, that we do bi-weekly. And at Rainmaker, Brian Clark and Robert Bruce have been doing that podcast. And that's really helped because podcasting is a great medium for storytelling, you know, and for delving conversationally into topics. Whereas, you know, and so you can get a little bit more personality with it. Obviously, text content is going to be the foundation of everything, you know, and so I think for very educational bits of information, text is really good. And I think we've also been doing a lot with infographics. And, of course, not everything is right for an infographic, but when you can get the right message, the right theme there, they can be great in terms of spreading a simple message that has some kind of visual appeal to it. So for us, we've really been using those three. SlideShare is another one that's been going well. But really, it's one of those answers. There's no perfect answer because each different type can serve its purpose. I just think it's very important to make sure that you have the right match. You know, what you're doing in a podcast probably isn't going to transfer perfectly to an infographic, but, you know, as long as you format it correctly, make sure it's the right message and do what you need to do with it, then they can all serve their purpose.
Right. And, you know, it also raises a point, too, that you can, you know, one piece of content can be generated in multiple formats.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think an easy way for a lot of people, and a lot of people don't think about this, is with webinars. And with webinars, you can take a transcript of the webinar, and then you can turn that into an ebook, or you can turn that into an infographic. So there's a lot of ways that you can use content that's already been created in new ways. And I'm curious, from your perspective, how often do you engage in content reformatting, if you will, and also content reuse?
All the time, and we want to do it more.
Yeah.
That's a great point. You know, and you bring up remind me of an example from this year that we did. We kicked off the year with an infographic called The 11 Essential Ingredients of a Blog Post. And then Damien and I turned that into a podcast series where we had 11 episodes that tackled for 15 minutes each one of those elements. And then we've done a slide share about it. And, you know, then there's a transcript for each one of those podcasts that we're eventually going to turn into an ebook. So, you know, each step of the way, you know, the content kind of gets twisted and reformatted a little bit, but the ideas are the same. And obviously that's the heavy lifting part, is coming up with, you know, the good ideas, the research to back them. And so once you have that, the more different ways that you can spin it into a different format. Yeah. I mean, you know, because the people who listen to our podcast might not necessarily read the blog, so they may have missed it. And even if they didn't, we had a lot of people who, you know, read the post or saw the infographic and loved the podcast edition because we took a little bit of a different angle, or, you know, it was just a different way to consume the content. So yes, I think when you hit on something that resonates in one format, see what you can do about spinning it into another format, because you're probably going to reach different people. And even if you are reaching the same people, you're reaching them in a different way.
Mm. No, that's very, very true. And you mentioned podcasting a couple of times now, and I have to come back to that now, because we've been doing this podcast. We just passed our 1 year anniversary on the podcast, and it's just been, it's been fantastic. It's been, the audience has been growing, and it's just a great way for us to get out really valuable content to a lot of people. And also it allows us to bring in other voices, not only, you know, for me personally, but just to give some other people other tips, other ideas. And I'm curious, how do you use your podcasting platform within CopyBlogger?
Well, a couple different ways. You know, we've really used the lead, which is the podcast that is on CopyBlogger.com, as a way to take specific ideas that resonated in blog posts and then expand on them and talk about them in a little bit more expansive way. And that's really done well. You know, we had been doing some interviews. I haven't done as many of those lately, so I don't know if we'll get back to doing that. Perhaps at some point we will. But it's really been kind of a one more leg on kind of that repurposing ladder that, you know, that our content's been walking up. So it's been great for that. And then the Rainmaker podcast that Robert and Brian have done, really that allowed them to, from a storytelling perspective, really take the audience on the journey that we want the people who end up, you know, becoming quote unquote rainmakers. We have a new platform called the Rainmaker platform, which is, you know, for online content creators. And so taking those people on the journey for how you start, you know, and what this whole content marketing thing is and what we mean by media, not marketing. And so, you know, for them, it was really a way to kind of paint that picture, take people on that journey. And then that was all basically packaged up into the Rainmaker content library. So, you know, again, it's been a tool for this repurposing and to kind of be as efficient with the content as possible. And then really just to tell our story in a different way and a more effective way in a lot of cases.
Well, I think it really speaks to learning styles as well, because some people, you know, listening is better for them. Listening in the car, listening as they're walking or running, reading, certainly for some people, watching in other cases. And so by providing a broad range of content that's consumable towards different consumer types, you know, it provides more value. Have you seen any particular one kind of outpace the other in terms of effectiveness?
In terms of the two different podcasts?
Well, no, just in terms of, you know, podcasting versus the infographics versus just, you know, blog posts or.
That's a good question. I don't know that I would say that any individual one is kind of winning the race. I think they all they all are contributing to moving our ball forward. So, you know, and I think they all contribute in unique ways. So, you know, I suppose if we had to get rid of one, you know, we wouldn't want to lose the podcast just because we've been building up that audience for a while.
Right.
But I think, again, you know, as long as you're smart with when you deploy them and what you're doing with each one, you know, they're all going to be effective for you.
Right. And the interesting thing about podcasting, and we certainly haven't talked a lot about it on this show or really on any of the shows, podcasting is a powerful medium, and it's fairly inexpensive. I'm curious, how do you do your podcasts? Are you doing them over the phone, over Skype? I mean, it doesn't take a full production studio to pull it off, does it?
No, it really doesn't. You know, I've been using Skype, although I have to say I used Skype for a podcast earlier today and got really bad sound quality from it, so not that happy with that. you know, and so I'm constantly looking for an upgrade there. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you want to invest probably in a good mic, which you can get for, you know, a couple $100, and not even that if you don't want to spend that much. But once you do that, you know, as long as you have a good internet connection, just to make sure that you're getting good sound, it's really not that expensive. And, you know, I have a side project I do, which is a post-game show for Indiana basketball. I'm a huge IU fan.
Awesome.
And we use Google Hangouts for that. So it gives us basically that live video, and then we just pull the audio right down off a Hangout. And the audio is pretty good. Pull it right down and publish that as a podcast as well. So it really, that's one thing about podcasting I was surprised about, is it really isn't as expensive money-wise to do a good job. Now, obviously, there's the time investment and all that. But, yeah, from a actual cash outlay perspective, it's not that expensive to produce really, really good content that you can use in a lot of different ways.
Now, a lot of people are concerned about podcasting because, you know, you might put it up on iTunes and there's no way to really capture much more information other than, you know, how many downloads was it and, you know, from what kind of devices. So you don't get any individual data about who's listening necessarily.
Yeah.
How do you turn podcasting into somewhat of a lead generator for you? Or is it just adding to everything in terms of creating that credibility factor for you?
Yeah, I think for us, it's adding to everything, creating the credibility factor, you know, and obviously we have calls to action inside of the podcast, you know, that, you know, based on whatever the show is about. I can't say that I track it heavily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think for us, you know, we were able to get just through social sentiment, you know, conversation in Google Plus and then Twitter and just from actual talking to people that, you know, I know that a lot of people are getting value out of it. And so I think for us, you know, we understand that it's building the value that way. And just in kind of contributing overall. And it's for us, you know, our kind of company motto has always been to, you know, if we're going to teach something, we want to do it. So we want to teach you by doing. And so, you know, when podcasting became an avenue that we wanted to go down, instead of just writing articles about podcasting, figured, well, let's do it and let's show you what we mean. And so I think all those things just kind of help our connection with our audience.
Absolutely. Jared, it's been a great conversation. As we wrap up, is there one thing that our audience could put into action today to have impact with their social media marketing?
That's a great question. You know, with social media marketing, for me, one action item that has really transformed how I do what I do is getting a good social media, I don't know the right word for it, but some third-party service that allows you to be efficient with your scheduling. You know, so I've looked at a number of them. You know, one I use that I like is called Octopost. I don't know, for me, it gets hard. You know, we have a lot of you know, kind of classic posts and landing pages and posts that have stood the test of time that we want to get out to people. But it's pretty tedious, you know, having to upload those one at a time and schedule them. And so, you know, we got a lot more efficient with a service that basically allows us to have message assets, you know, so you put it in once and it saves it and you can access it and,
right,
you know, publish it 10 times over a 2-week span or whatever, however you want to do it. So I think for me, finding something like that makes that technology side of it much more efficient, so that I can focus more on the interaction and doing some of those other things, That really helped. And I had to go through a number of them to see what fit for me, because we all have different things that we need. But I say, if you don't have something like that, look into it, because it's really, I found that to be well worth the investment.
Now, when you schedule out, do you find yourself scheduling out a week ahead, a month ahead? How far and how much?
It really depends. So for instance, you know, we have, the landing pages in Classic Pro, so I'll sometimes schedule those out a couple months in advance, just because, you know, they don't change and they're time tested. They're kind of like our cornerstone content. And then obviously I'll go in then each day with our new post and schedule that out and make sure that it's hitting at different times over the first few days that it's out. So it just depends on the type of content. But it's nice to have some flexibility to be able to schedule some stuff out well in advance, and then sort of be able to go in on a daily basis and put in what you need to put in, kind of fill in the gaps.
Right. Jared, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they reach you?
Twitter's a great way, at Jared Morris, JERODMORRIS. And if you have any questions, email me as well, jared@copyblogger.com.
Awesome. Jared, thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity, and congrats on the 1 year.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media.
You've been listening to Amp Up Your Social Media on the FIR Podcast Network, brought to you in association with Lawrence Reagan Communications, serving communicators worldwide for more than 35 years. You'll find more information at www.reagan.com. That's R-A-G-A-N. Amp Up Your Social Media is a podcast about how to get the most out of social media, hosted by Glenn Gaudette of Gaggle Amp. Amp Up Your Social Media is part of the FIR Podcast Network, a series of business podcasts founded by Neville Hobson and Shel Holtz. The anchor podcast is the Hobson and Holtz Report, a weekly show presented since January 2005. For more information about FIR, to see show notes for the podcasts, and to subscribe, visit www.forimmediaterelease.biz. You can also subscribe via iTunes and other podcast directories. We welcome your comments about Amp Up Your Social Media. Join the conversation in the FIR community on Google+. Look for the FIR Podcast Community, or email us at FIRcomments@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.